All right. All right, I just heard my echo. Sounded very scary. Paul Chambers Quintet with I Heard That. Starring, if you will, Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, Cannonball Adderley on alto sax, Wynton Kelly on piano, Chambers himself on bass, and Jimmy Cobb on drums. This was recorded in 1959 for the album titled Go. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yatrice Lead, and we're picking up from where we left off with each other yesterday when we broached two issues. One had to do with the president. The other having to do with a very interesting development. We'll see how it turns out. But so far, it is most interesting. And that has to do with Stacey Abrams, who intends to muscle her way into a vice presidency on the ticket of Joe Biden. As it relates to the president, we asked a question: how much longer is Donald Trump's bizarre, erratic, and unpredictable conduct to be tolerated as normal? Is anybody going to do something about it? Well, it looks more and more like nobody will have to. He is fully self-destructive. And if you look at the coverage, just keep a clear view of it. You see, it's getting worse. It's getting much worse. The president seems to be spinning out of control, and which is one bad thing. But the other thing is, we don't see a system that is organized to help him or to retrieve him and patch him up. He's in full-blown free fall right now. And just when you think, he might have heard himself and it would be a hint to himself to get help fast, or to the people who are advising him, who are close to him, and who supposedly mean him well, to drag him off, stage left somewhere, behind a curtain somewhere, sit him down and really get him together, because he's not together at all. He's barely holding it together. And what is left in that vein is not impressive at all. It's just more and more of this unfolding of his unfolding. And it's very disconcerting to observe, because you can't believe that nobody else is observing it. All over the world, people are observing the president being out of control. And we also talked about Stacey Abrams and whether she can be saved from herself. I've made it clear that I think she's wrong in the way she's taking this approach to just inserting herself in Joe Biden's campaign, reserving that this is her demand, essentially, to reserve the slot of vice president for her. And this is what she has formulated as Joe Biden's top assignment: make it so that I become the vice president on your ticket. She's been touring, if you will, the United States. She's gone on some forays and has been very well received. And she's reaching out to people and doing some vigorous campaigning and making speeches, and except a minor problem, just a minor one. This is not your campaign. This is not your campaign. This is Joe Biden's campaign. And you, if that's what you wanted to do, you should have launched your own campaign a long time ago. But you can't tell me that it's acceptable. And we should not really accept it as acceptable that you just barge into somebody's campaign for president and insist that you ought to be strongly considered, if not already selected, as a vice presidential campaign. You're bringing nothing. You're not bringing money into the campaign coffers. You can't guarantee a voter turnout. So, what is it exactly, this quid pro quo that normally happens when people want to run for vice president, but they bring nothing except, a toothsome smile and forceful speeches? In the end, we cannot move away from this fact. It is Biden's campaign, not yours. And when you do this kind of thing, especially at this time, 6 months away from the general election, here is what is possibly going to happen. You might possibly impair the chance of a Democratic win. Why? Because what you're doing is fracturing the party. And we can't help but say that this is intentional. If you proceed with this, this is intentional. You intend to fracture the party in order to get your way. I am amazed that the Democrats haven't pulled her in a corner and read her the Riot Act yet. I'm amazed that there has been no condemnation of this, because this is very serious. It's a very serious thing. This is not a casual issue. She is literally making a threat, although it comes with a lot of smiles and assurances that she means well and she wants to support Joe Biden. Well, this is not the way to do it. And mind you, and I'm making this very clear, I'm not a Biden fan. I am not a Biden fan. And you know how I have talked about the Democratic Party. But still, we are at the point where you have to see the situation for what it is. In my view, whatever system poses the greatest threat to the re-election of Donald Trump, I'm interested in that. I'm interested in helping that to work. I just can't see how anyone would think that another term of Donald Trump is just what this country needs. So you have to make some practical choices. So far, and things may change, I know, but so far, the choice is between Trump and Biden. Of the two, I really, really don't like Trump having a second term. I think it's going to be very bad for the country. And at this juncture, I don't think you need further disturbances. And I think that Abrams' tactics will help to fracture the Democratic Party. And the basis of this, to me, is equally reprehensible. And what a shock coming from someone who supposedly is educated, who supposedly understands what is at stake, and yet is feeding right into it simply to get her needs met, to get her agenda through. So we started that discussion yesterday at 888-874-4888. We did not have enough time to accommodate the calls. And I said yesterday, we have to give you time to express yourselves. So today is that time at 888-874-4888. On these two issues, you may comment on either or both, providing it's nice and compact, and you get your point across in a short space of time. It is important for us to talk openly and frankly about what we are feeling, what we see. So far, in the case of Trump, we haven't seen the community as a whole consistently reacting. And we know that people do not feel good about this president, and for specific reasons. We need to hear you voice these reasons. We need to know what it is you're feeling. In the case of Abrams, we similarly need to know what it is you're thinking at 888-874-4888. We start off with Chris from Harlem. You're on the air, Chris. Welcome.
Thank you. Peace, Nutrice, peace, family.
Thank you.
I may be a bit off key for a second, but please bear with me. Earlier today, I was talking with a client of mine, and he was trying to push me into a corner, saying, "If you're Joe Biden and you know you're going to lose, how would you advise him in strategy to actually win?" And I had to tell him that I rejected the entire premise. I'm not voting for Trump, a Republican, and I'm not voting for a Biden or any other Democrat in this particular election coming up. So it's a complete rejection of the premise. But these are the options put forth. So the Stacey Abrams thing, I put that in the same boat. The reason I called, I was just having a conversation about the reduction in loss and the acceptance of direct conflict against our civil rights, excuse me, our human rights, rights of citizenry and civil rights. All of those, however, need to be specified. And the question was, well, who is going to, how do we take legal action? How do we push back legally? And then I said that there's one person that I actually would look into hearing and seeing what he would say. And that person is Alton Maddox. I do not know what's been going on with Brother Maddox over the last few years. I know it's been how it's been. But that is a voice of wisdom and effectiveness that I do not see, hear, and is missed wholly.
I appreciate your point, but you're not answering the question. We're focusing on two people who are in play at the moment in different ways and bringing to this race some very complex issues. Maddox is not on the, he's not on the list. So, what is your view of either Trump or Abrams?
Trump or Abrams? My view.
What do you think of what do you think of Abrams' move? Let me put it that way. What is her tactic?
The tactic is straightforward. It's the old adage of you take what you want and you make it known what you want and show that you are able to stand up to a bully and pop in the face. But within a Democratic aspect of the DNC, if she did not do that, would she be part of the conversation? If she felt as if it
but
was...
But this is not her campaign. This is what we... She is acting as if this is not even an issue. This is not her personal campaign. She's bogarting her way in. And it says something very non-complimentary about her. Why would you think that this is the time to raise the consciousness, if you will, around the nation, especially among blacks, that you are the one, you're the best qualified to be the number two person on the ticket, and you aim to get it no matter what? It's not your campaign. Why is that so difficult to understand? Why is she doing what she's doing? Risking further fracturing an already fractured Democratic Party.
In this one, but looking at what the Democratic Party, what shambles the party is in right now, and what lack of messaging that Biden has had and has as the seeming prince and king to be of the Democratic Party as the presidential candidate. If she does not speak, I say go back to it again as a reference point. Trump keeps his name on the front pages every single day by saying some outrageous, outlandish thing or doing said outlandish or outrageous thing.
So anything goes? You do whatever is the most outlandish thing to do to draw attention to the critical situation within the Democratic Party? And by the way, the polls are showing every day that somehow Biden has managed to create a sizable lead and sizable headway in terms of voter inclination to support him. I'm concerned, though, that we are missing this point. Do you barge into somebody's campaign because you have a particular, specific, personal agenda? You're not bringing money. You haven't put a penny in the pot. You're not basically doing education, voter education. This is purely to satisfy your ambition, your personal ambition. I want to be vice president. But here's what we need to think. Joe Biden is an older man, and we all could agree that he's not looking in the picture of health. What if, let's say she gets it. That means that if he should get sick or if he should die, guess who becomes president? What kind of madness is this? How can we allow her to be so irresponsible? simply because we have a fantasy. Hey, this is a smart move. If she forces him to place her on the ticket as his vice presidential running mate, then hey,
so
that just proves how capable she is.
We have
okay,
a reality
Rhett.
In a
Go ahead.
reality star is a reality star is the president of the United States. So all bets are off as to what your qualifications to becoming president of the United States is currently. That does not make an excuse for that fact, but that is where we are and what has actually happened. And
well,
so
the question
the bar
is,
has been.
Is this the right way to go?
This is an echo chamber situation going on there. This is not, if that's how she chose to do it, also highlighting the fact that there is a absolute need for any type of president to win on the Democratic ticket, there has to be a sizable African-American turnout and representation,
yes, but
or all
this
those
is his
allies.
Boss, go organize your own campaign. Why can't you do that? Why are you insisting on muscling your way into somebody else's campaign and trying to compel them to make you the running mate? Does that not strike you as being very bizarre?
There is enough distance between the actual etiquette of politics.
Chris, come on. I'm looking
Oh,
for you
no,
to,
I'm not.
You waffling. Make a decision. A definitive decision. What will that be? Is she right to do it? Is she wrong to do it?
You know, I love you so much, Retrieve, but I, again, am in a situation where it's, you know, A, B. I really don't care which way or the other. So,
all right, well.
Because it's
no,
irrelevant
this
to
is
the need.
Today's program, you got to care one way. You got to cast your vote one way or the
Oh,
other.
Okay. I'm passing the buck. I'm passing the buck.
Go this way or not. But thank you so much for calling in. Gwen, you're on the air. Hello, Gwen.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I'm not completely crazed over the fact that she's muscling her way in, but I think people should be aware that if he does not pick her and she's been out there, that it's going to appear that she's been slighted.
Yeah, but
so
she's not the
be...
only one running. She's not
exactly.
The only one who wants the position. There are other women in play. Why should she take this tact, assuming that she's more qualified than everybody else?
Well, I think when it comes down to a political race, you have to get in there and assume that you are the best candidate, period. That's
this
it. And I guess you have to ask yourself.
Her campaign. Please keep this in mind. This, you want to run, run. Start your own campaign. Fund your own campaign. Finance your own campaign. But you can't tell me that it is okay to just turn a blind eye to this bogarting and with a threat. It comes with a threat. If you don't put me as your second in command, I will turn black people against you. I mean, what is this that we're witnessing here and saying absolutely nothing about?
Well,
this
I think
is
it's
Biden's campaign. Do you agree or not agree? Is this Biden's
campaign? I agree.
Campaign?
I agree but I agree that there's even more at stake than that. But I do want to also say this, that I'm not excited about this bullcrap of saying I'm putting a woman on. I don't really care if it's a woman. And I don't know that I think she's the most exciting or the most experienced candidate. And I feel like people are always being tricked. And people get tricked all the time in all of our local elections. I heard it this morning on Amy Goodman. in Democracy Now. You know, I remember years ago when I was trying to save a school that, you know, her partner, Juan Gonzalez, would not run the story because the woman who was trying to tear down the school and turn it into artist housing instead of a public school happened to be Puerto Rican. So today they're outraged that, you know, a hospital's coming in and wants to take over a school, and they're going to, you know, put their fists up there and fight.
Okay, my you're getting off my point.
My point is,
don't stray. Let's get to the point today. Is this the way you expect a candidate to behave? A person who really desires, maybe she has a lot to contribute, but this is the wrong way. You cannot barge into somebody's campaign and then you're mounting speeches all over the place and you're getting coverage as if you have a campaign. You do not have your own campaign. And this is not the way to do it. You can't tell me it's acceptable that here's Biden trying to do his thing, trying to hold on to whatever lead he has so far and to maximize his lead. And she's staging news conferences about what she wants. It strikes me, this is insane. And somebody who is in the Democratic Party needs to step forward and say, this is wrong. This is absolutely wrong. This is thuggish. You can't do that. You want what you want, finance it. Finance your own campaign. Do your own thing. Bring your own money. Raise your own political base. You could do that. But you cannot jump and short circuit somebody else's campaign with the implicit threat that if I don't get what I want, I will make sure that I will communicate that to blacks. And it's a very nasty game. Very nasty game. And we need to call it and shut it down. I'll be damned if I'm running for any office and I've gone through the trouble of organizing my troops and raising money and doing all kinds of things to set myself in a good position to win whatever the office is that I'm pursuing. And while I'm doing that, you holding news conferences talking about you're the best candidate and essentially it would be crazy if I don't appoint you. You're undercutting me. You're undercutting the party. You're playing a whole different game, which I don't like. And it needs to be said. Thanks, Gwen. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Patrice, how you doing?
Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
No matter what you hear, I'm okay.
I hear you. You know, me and my phones are still here. Pertaining to your two topics, Stacey Abrams, I don't know why you're so surprised or shocked. I mean, you're coming at it with a mindset of what politics was in this country, even though that was a falsitude at best. At least they played by the rules. Everything's off. Right is wrong. Good is bad. What she's doing doesn't surprise me. It doesn't shock me. Is it wrong? Yes, as far as from a political aspect, as far as how politics should be dictated. But you've got an insane individual in charge. The emperor has no clothes. Anything goes.
But this is just as insane to take this tact.
Well, I mean, when in Rome, the Democratic Party has undercut themselves. The Democratic Party has sabotaged themselves, not only in this election, but the last election. The obvious candidate
we need to let the party know and to let each other know that that's what they're doing. Well, this is not one of those kindly moves. She's going for the jugular. She's already put up a threat. If I don't get what I want, I'll wreck the whole place.
But she,
and
she
I'm
feels
saying,
comfortable.
If that's what you want to do, be careful, because it won't be over with this election. You still would want to have a political afterlife, and you would find it to be almost merciless the way people are going to come at you. This is just wrong.
I got to disagree with you, because I don't believe, after all that we're going through in this country, that politics is ever going to be the same. I think everything, we're going through a paradigm shift now. I think that this is the death of the political parties. And I think this is why these people are acting this way. They're from the old guard. They see that the old guard is completely disintegrating before their very eyes. And the only thing they can do with their limited intellect is react for self. From Ocasio-Cortez to Ilhan Omar to Stacey Abrams to the nut job in chief to Joe Biden, they're all politics of personality. Joe Biden, I'm the guy. Remember me? I'm the guy. I'm the guy that did this. There's no thought of civil discourse. There's no obligation to feel like what. Like Kennedy said, that's not what your country has done for you. It's what you can do for your country. You don't feel that sentiment from these people anymore. These people are obsessed with obtaining political power for their own devices. And they don't even put any skirts on there anymore, because the nut in charge has made it clear that you can do anything and everybody will believe you, from shooting bleach in your veins to taking an experimental drug and bragging about it. This is nut town. The lunatics are in charge of the asylum. And all good people, all people, good kinds, you got to do is resist, educate, duck, and cover.
But somehow you have just opened the door to give a decent exit for someone who needs to understand that what she has done and what she is doing is seriously detrimental. Because, you know, the party, as you know, I've been very critical and still am of the Democratic Party. But you got to draw the line somewhere. This is not right.
You can't tell me that they don't know this. You can't sit here and in good conscience tell me that they don't know this. Or you can, but you can't. But it's not a reality. They have to know this. I'm a political novice, and if I know this,
Stacey Abrams knows this. Huh? Do you think Stacey Abrams knows this?
Yes, I think she exactly knows it. I think she knows it. I think she knows the consequences. And I think she's going for broke because, like a lot of these politicians, my personal observation, I feel that they feel that this is the end. I think that what's going to come out of this, once this social distancing, once people, more people are being aware of what's going on in this country, the fact that labor is being prostituted, the fact that the common man can't catch a break, the fact that, and people are getting frustrated. And it's growing, and it's growing, and eventually.
Yeah, but all that is true. But at the same time, how does this justify an act of thuggery? How does it justify it?
It doesn't justify it. She's doing what everyone else is doing. She is the great I am. I'm going to take care of myself. You should make me vice president because I'm the best. Because I don't care about the other people. I don't care about civil service.
Political life. As an elected official, only began the other day. It's not like she has been in the trenches for 40 years. And she lost. She tried her hand at the gubernatorial seat in Georgia. She lost. She put up a good fight. But at least that was a legitimate fight. But to spring from that, and at least, even if symbolically you paid homage to the way things are done politically, you want an office, you run fair and square for it. You do not jump into somebody else's campaign and try to take it over and tell them what to do. You're out of your mind.
The whole system is out of its mind.
I'm not talking about the whole system. We know that. I'm talking about this particular situation. Why are you trying to duck it? And you didn't strike me as a kind of guy who would duck the question.
I don't agree with what she's doing. I think it's morally wrong. I think it's politically wrong, and I think she doesn't even have the chops to demand a position in the Democratic Party at this time. But by the same token, I got to look at what's going on in the world at large, and madmen are in control. So sometimes people, like the saying goes, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. If he can get away with it,
had a perfectly legitimate pathway, which she would have organized herself, which she would have found a way to finance herself, which she would have brought people into her fold herself. This is pure open warfare and thuggery going on here.
Well, obviously,
giving permission. She has opened the gate, which can't be closed now, and she has basically given permission for people to do the same. Imagine you're running for office. You're prepared. You're running for the city council or something like that. You're prepared. You do all the things that a candidate would do to prepare for office. You're raising your money and blah, blah, blah. While you are trying to sustain your campaign, somebody is holding a news conference saying that they are your, when you get elected, they are your chief of staff. What the hell is that? In what part of the world is that considered normal?
Look how they changed the rules for Bloomberg. Look how they did Bernie Sanders.
You cannot. Don't go there because you're trying now to defuse your argument, and by opening the door to saying, well, look what they did over here. No, we're not talking about what they did over there. We're talking about this specific case. Do you think this should be tolerated, or do you think that it should be known publicly that people disapprove?
Absolutely, it should be known publicly that people disapprove. And if the party was a party, a real political party with real political platform and with real political goals as far as dealing with the people, she never would have done this in the first place. She wouldn't have felt comfortable to do it because the party would have thrown
it. If you are so self-absorbed, if you are so reckless in your own life, this is not hard to do. If you are so sure you will have a compassionate press covering you, if you are so sure that you could present and create an alternate reality that you are the greatest thing since sliced bread, this isn't hard to do.
No,
if this is your ambition.
Yes.
You can do it.
What I'm saying is that the party is not a party. The party should have checked her from the beginning, but they didn't.
Absolutely.
Somebody should have pulled her to the side and said, look, this is not going to go this way. You know better than this. And if you want to have a political career, if you want to assist us, then do things the right way. But nobody did. Nobody's checking her because nobody's doing, like I said, once again, the lunatics are in charge of the asylum.
All right. I accept what you say. I understand your reasoning. I still think she's wrong as hell. 5,000 ways wrong. Thank you for calling in. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay.
Yotrice, good afternoon to the PRN.
Good afternoon.
I've been listening to you for... I just checked the years. You know, it's over 30 years.
Wow.
And I've never...
That
awesome?
I have never
disagreed with you. Because you're always right. But this time, for the first time in my life, it is completely right.
What is completely right?
Ed.
Oh, Ed.
Yes. It's completely right.
Okay.
You are wrong in the for the first time. I find you totally wrong. He was completely right.
Wrong. Tell me why. Tell me why. I accept you find me wrong. Tell me why.
He pointed out that there's, first of all, there's a morality. That's number one. And it's.
But don't talk esoterically. We have a specific issue at hand. Was and is she correct to invade somebody else's campaign and to basically, with a threat, an implicit threat, that if I don't get what I want, I'll make this whole thing one hell of a mess?
Well, if there were rules to go by, what we're
there
looking at...
There are rules to go by. There are rules to go by. Nobody does this. That's a rule. Right there. It's not complicated. While this man is conducting or trying to conduct a presidential campaign, you are busy trying to usurp it and to undermine it, not just on a one-on-one basis, but a party basis, because you're running now for a national office. This is not, you know, you're running for dog catcher. This is a national seat. You're behaving like a neighborhood thug.
But you, Trees, we have a thug in the White House.
I don't. That is not an argument. You have a thug in the the White House. Fine. What does that have to do with this particular scenario that we're talking about?
Well, how he got there, his whole campaign was thuggery. So if somebody
else
is doing it,
I'm not interested, and it doesn't help us understand the current situation we're talking about by going back to Donald Trump. That's a whole different scenario. And I know we have more than enough ammunition to discuss that. I'm discussing the conduct of this particular campaign. Why would you think it is okay to barge in, especially to a campaign that is so well developed? It's one of the only decent chances of opposition to Trump. And that is exactly where you are zeroing in order to fracture it, undermine it, so that you get what you want, whether he, and this is his campaign, his, not yours. He has a right to choose who he wants as his running mate. You don't impose yourself. Who the hell are you to do something like that? There are other women who are in the running who might be just, if not more so, equipped, experienced. You want to jump to the front of the line and you're prepared to wreck the whole place so that you get what you want. That is the act of a thug. And I am so upset because, and I'm going to go back to the culture. Our culture didn't raise us to behave this way. That is alien behavior to us. And anything so that I could get my way is not the way we have been taught. It is not our culture.
Yeah, I agree totally with you on that. But we're not operating in our culture, Utrecht.
Let me ask you, the question still remains. 6 months to the general election. Is this what it is that we need to put up with? Do we need this? 6 months from the election? If she had it in mind to be this aggressive about it, express your aggression ahead of time so everybody knows that you are a contender. But you sneak in through the back door and you act like any other ordinary interloper. And I feel ashamed personally that this is how she chooses to act. It is so unlike, it is so alien to our culture to do something like this. This is the kind of move that we have seen acted upon us, not from us. I mean, I've covered many elections. And even though some of them were quite vicious, they were never, they don't come close to this. This is very bad. And we need to stop hiding. We need to be out in the open and declarative about what we feel about this kind of conduct. We've seen it so many times before. We don't need it to come from one of our culture. This is not our culture.
But there you go again, saying it's our. It's not our. This has nothing to do with us. It's not our culture. We don't behave this that kind of way.
Here it has to be thus because we are saying nothing. We are saying nothing, and she has come now to represent the new black political activist.
But you, Trish, you've done a lot of reports on this so-called democracy and Republican, the Democratic Party, and you didn't tell us what's what, but you reported on it, and just with your imagination, it's very clear that it's one party. They may be all working together. We know this.
It is not the point I'm debating. I'm not debating whether it's one party. I'm not debating whether people have a right to run for office. I'm not debating any of that. I'm debating the fact, and not debating it. It is, to me, there's no debate. This is just wrong.
Well, you've pointed out that she might maybe have splintered the party, but that might be a part of the game, Utrice.
I don't care what the game is. We need to be very public that we do not approve of this behavior. We do not approve. You walk in the door with nothing but your very charming smile and your two long hands and threats that you must get what you want. Is that what we've come to now? To accept that kind of stuff as representative of us? And then the other part of the supposition on her part is that she's doing this in the name of Black Power. You're not representing me.
Absolutely. Well, I agree with you on that. She is not representing the Black people. Those of us who are aware, she's representing those that are caught up in that system anyway.
She's because representing most of us are not gonna herself and her crude ambition. That's what she's representing. I want what I want for me. And of course, if you support me, you'll get a little something too. But this is brazen. And it is so wrong. And I'm going to tell you something. Look out. If nobody stands up to this, no Black or Latino or any person of color running for office stands a chance. Nobody.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
It means that she has opened up a new set of rules. You could undercut, undermine, you can do whatever it is you have to do to prevail. It is all part of the game, so-called.
But that's a game they are playing, you cheese.
Huh?
That's a game they are playing. There's a bunch of thugs.
No, that's a game she wants. There's a game she is playing. And she has to understand that she's a stand-in for others. There is no way after this, if she succeeds at it and isn't publicly condemned for doing something this unethical and wrong, then I can't be a part of a system that tolerates this. I can't. And again, everybody knows I'm not a Joe Biden fan. I am not. As you have heard from my programs, I'm not.
Yeah,
this is wrong, though. Yeah, her behavior is wrong.
Either party. Either party. We understand that. We are not, most of the people I know are not a part of either party because we're not voting for any one of them anyway.
The point I'm making is, why will we not address it? Definitively address it and let her know she's wrong. And she has done something and continues to do something that will hurt us all. I'm telling you. You're a black woman, you're powerful and all of that. That's great. But you're also without any sense of right and wrong. Also with no morals in this question, no ethics in this question. I don't want to be associated with anybody who has no ethics.
I agree on that.
Okay, well, then that's the point.
But the whole
she should not do this.
But the whole
and if she succeeds in this unethical way, we all the more reason to condemn her. Not just condemn her action, but condemn her. Because we may not understand it now, but trust me, it won't be too long from now before all hell breaks loose. And in our communities, which are already besieged, we're going to have total mayhem. And we will be unable to distinguish between the people who still have a modicum of ethics and who want to do things the right way and who want to honor those who came before them, who labored the right way to get the right results. She's spitting on all of that right now. That is what I'm so upset about more than anything else. You know, you want to run for office? Do what everybody else does. Raise your own money. Put together your own operation. And run for office. Make a nice, clean breast of it, as they say. But this is what you're doing. And we're supposed to be so thrilled that you're out there and the white press loves you. And of course they will, because they understand what the consequences are. They understand it. They're seeing it already. Look who we will have for a leader. Somebody who doesn't give a damn. Except about what she wants. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. And she ought to get it. She ought to get it from this community in particular. This is not the right way. Your mother and your father taught you better than that. And you're not fooling me at all with this idea that, oh, I'm the best. you're the best at what? You just ran a race, which you lost. It's like people trying to impress you saying, well, I went to Harvard. Well, so did the janitor. The janitor was in Harvard every day. So don't try to bamboozle my mind. It can't work that way. Thank you all for calling in. I really appreciate your very frank discussions and your opinions. And this is the work we have to do. When we see things going wrong in front of our eyes that have such massive implications for our community, we may not understand it now, we may not see it now, but that's exactly what it is. We have to stand up and defend our community when one of ours, she's a feminist, that doesn't speak well for feminists. She's an African-American. You ain't talking for me. I'm still holding on to what my father and my mother taught me. And what old-time politicians taught me. Adam Clayton Powell would never have done that. Shirley Chisholm would never have done that. Barbara Jordan would never have done that. Those are the things they've taught us, and they are worth holding, as my father would say, grappling them onto our breast with hoops of steel. And with that, I leave you today, thanking you so much for participating. And let's get together tomorrow and talk about something else. Bye-bye.